So this year we have separate. So here we learn parashat Chukos. In Bichukosai Teilechu, if you go in my chukim, okay, this parashat does not teichacha. First, it starts out in Bichukosai Teilechu. If you go in my, you travel my chukim. Yes, mitzvosai tishmeru, you guard my mitzvos. Va'asisim osam. Rashi says. Rashi in Bichukosai Teilechu yochol zekim mitzvos. I would think that this means the key my mitzvos. So later in the pasuk it says the mitzvahs. Okay, this is a very famous pasuk. If you'll go my chukim, you'll be amelim b'torah. What is the word amel? Since when do we find the word chukim? Chukim refers to Amelim b'Torah. So it's very poshut. You know the answer is because there's something we say many, many times. Very quickly, side is that there's something very special about learning Torah. There's something very, very. What is it? What is it about learning Torah that's very special? It's emes. A daf gemara. You know, if a person watches a television, it's tremendous chokhmah. An episode, some movie. It's incredible. The screenwriting, the acting, the special effects, the technology, it's unbelievable. It really is. You cannot deny the fact that it's just incredible. Yet, if you learn about Shor Shenogach Esapar, an axe that gores a pregnant cow or a cow, and these are arcane, ancient things. Why do those things? It's a chok. If you look at it abstractly, give a person a choice. You can go and you can watch a television show, or you can watch, you can go, you learn a Daf Gemara, go to a Daf Yom Yishir. In Daf Yom Yishir, they learn about the axe and the cow. And in the television, they're going to show you something which could go to a movie. They spend a movie, $200 million. $200, already cheap. They spend on movies even more than that. Half a billion dollars they spend sometimes on some of these movies. So what would you say? You would say that, of course, to go watch something which they spent $500 million, a chayr is much more interesting than going to a daf yom yishir and learning a daf gemara. Why would you want to go to a daf yom yishir when you can have an entertainment of watching for an hour some episode which you know they spend millions and millions of dollars to produce? It doesn't make sense. That's why it's called a choik. The choik is by definition something it's not logical. Yet you see people all the time, they go to the Daf Yom Yishir, they don't go to the movies. Why? Because the movie, after everything is said and done, is not true. Deep down in your heart, a person's neshama can immediately detect MS and Sheker. Whether you realize it or not, whether you can prove it or not, the Melech HaMashiach, as I'll say, will judge with smell. The Koyach, the Herechoi, B'Yiras Hashem. Just by smelling, basically mean you talk to someone for 5 minutes, you already know the whole story. You already know who's the sheker, who's the chakra, and who's the MS. You already can tell. Why? Divrei MS, the words of truth, are nikorim. A daf gemara is pure, unadulterated truth. Every single line in the gemara, every single rashi, every single svara, your neshama can detect. It is 100% emes. And that gives a person satisfaction that is irreplaceable. Irreplaceable. You go look, you go watch it. Yeah?
I hate to burst your bubble.
Yeah.
Rabbi Olofsky, I think I told you, was on an interview. I don't know if you had it, and I sent you the link. And one of the problems you talked about learning with Bachman, who get turned off, is they ask, push a question, what relevance does this have to me? In other words, if the Gemara is, Ashar Noga Chapara, Shnaim Shachs and Batalis, like I'm learning Gemara now, Brachas, about davening in front of, urine and excrement and all that, Gemara goes on and on, how many daf. He said the challenge, and that's why a lot of Brachim get turned off, and we're talking in Yeshiva, is they ask, what relevance does this
okay,
have?
Okay, that may be more true by a young boy, a boy who's 13 years old, 12 years old, 10 years old.
That's when you're starting to learn Gemara.
Okay, so there, you're right. It's more of a challenge. It's definitely, you are 1,000% correct. Young boys in yeshiva who are learning for the very first time, you are 100% correct. It's a much, much greater challenge. 100%. Rabbi Olofsky, he's a mechanich. He knows what he's saying. How dare I enter into this arena? You are correct. Let's limit what I said to mature adults. Okay, let's limit.
This, I also have it. I'm learning the Gemara in about davening in front of excrement, davening in front of this. Okay, I'll tell you what I get out of those daf that I learned in the third paragraph. You know what I get out of it? The primitive way that unfortunately they had to live, that we are spoiled. Poshut in the 20th, 21st century, we have indoor toilets. We have this. We don't have to dig a new thing. We don't have to worry about putting tefillin in the wall of a thing. I appreciate the way the Chachamim had to adapt Davashah with Kedusha, with Davashah Tomei, or Davashah Lamekia. I appreciate it so much because you suddenly realize, my gosh, the primitive way they had to live and how they had to adapt to it. I don't know how the Goyim live. Or the foods they ate. The foods they ate. I once heard one Rabbi Epstein, who unfortunately went to prison, said that's why the Chachamim were so careful with their diet, because they knew they didn't have bathrooms every couple of feet that they could say, "Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I have diarrhea. I have this." They didn't have that luxury.
Option. Yeah. I hear. Okay. I hear what you're saying. This is a big topic. Let's put it aside for now. I accept everything you're saying is true. It's a big problem. It is true. I accept. But there's also truth in what I said. What you're saying is 100% true. But there's also an element of truth that in the 2,711 Dafim, there is something very satisfying. There is MS. There's a very powerful, you have to be attuned to it. And you're right, it's a very big challenge. Not everyone really has a chance to let it sink in and to appreciate even these things which are very, look, now in Daf Yomi, it's really, I have a very hard time. The last couple of Daf in Daf Yomi is about Pitzua Daka. Okay, Lo Yovei Pitzua Daka Uchurush Shofka Bekal Hashem. And the Gemara goes into the most minute details. And I'm telling you, I can't even read the Gemara. I get squeamish. It's like, huh? Then I went to the bookstore, and I saw someone put out a sefer. I couldn't believe this. A whole sefer about Pitzua Daka. And you open up the book, and there are these illustrations with such detail. A whole sefer. And I think to myself, Gewalt, who would go do this? Who would be interested in doing this, in putting out a sefer with such detail? I guess
Leonardo da Vinci.
I guess a urologist. I guess this is what they do the whole day. So they have an appreciation for what the Gemara says, and translates it into. It's like unbelievable. You got to see the sefer. I mean, I saw the sefer online. I go to a certain blog where they present all of the new sefarim. So I saw the cover. All right, very good. Someone put out a sefer Mitzvah Daka Gezun Dehate. But I went into the bookstore and I saw the sefer for real, and I opened up and turned the pages, and I saw a whole book of illustrations. I got sick.
Is it a bestseller?
What?
Is it a bestseller?
I really don't think so. I cannot imagine for one second the person put it out to make money. You should know today, almost nobody puts out a sefer to make money. Kinmat does not exist. The only ones who make money today are cookbooks. Cookbooks make a lot of money. Someone I know from art school, a new cookbook, 42,000 copies were sold in advance. In advance. One of their recent cookbooks. The only money makers for art school makes money on every book. They make money on every book, but the people who actually put it out, the amount of, they have to pay. They have to get sponsors, so they have to pay. The royalties are bupkis. And when you do it privately, when you go put out a sefer, not art school, you put out a Hebrew sefer privately, no one's, you're not going to make any money on this. It's a joke. It's people who do this are very wealthy, obviously, or they have sponsors. and they do it lahagdil Torah lahadir, there is no way in the world the person who put out this sefer on Tzedakah is making back one penny. But you should know what he's doing is very important, because there are people, there are yechidim in Klal Yisrael who have issues, halachic issues, and Rabbanim don't know the first thing about this. They don't even know the aleph beis about this topic. And when Rachmano Litzlan, there is a shaila, this is very important. For the people that it's relevant for, this is very important. They need to know. And Baruch Hashem is a person, a Talmud Chacham, who obviously he knows quite a bit about this. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he's a urologist. He put out a sefer. He put out a very chosh for sefer. Would I buy the sefer? Never. I mean, I know, I'm not looking, you know what I'm saying? But you know, there are people who contribute very important things. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, most of his svarim are on topics that no the average person will never learn. Most of the things that he wrote svarim on are on these esoteric topics that the average person will never touch their whole life. He wrote many, many svarim. And these svarim, the people who learn these things, they're blown away by its brilliance. But the average person would never touch these svarim. He mastered things on the things that are very common. So that there's a plethora of svarim. There's no end to the basic archaim, even choshim, the basic things that Rabbanim deal with every single day. They have an enormous number of svarim, but things which are very esoteric. You know, okay, let's go back to our topic. I'll learn over here. Over here, there's a very interesting point to pay attention to, that it says that over here, the Rashi fataiches that a choik ordinarily means something which we do not understand. And Rashi here is telling us the word choik. It's not referring to para aduma. It's not referring to mitzvahs that we really do not understand. Shatnez, basa b'cholav. You have a whole long list of mitzvahs that we really do not understand why. So you would think, when it says in the Pasuk, Im Bichukosai, we're referring to the mitzvahs which we do not understand. And when it says, V'es Mitzvahsai Tishmer, it refers to the mitzvahs that we do understand. Don't steal. Honor your parents. Things like that. Along comes Rashi, and Rashi says, no. When it says, V'es Mitzvahsai Tishmer, it refers to Tayag mitzvahs. And when it says, Bichukosai, it refers to the study of Torah, and not just a laid back study of Torah, an intense embracement of the study of Torah. And the question is, why did Rashi feel, or why did Chazal, it's a Sifra, why is this Torah Shebal Peh, that the word choik in this context means a meilus b'Torah? And the only answer is that really we don't understand we don't understand why it's like this. Person spends time learning and studying Torah. It obviously does a lot for people. The people that are amei limud Torah are very happy people, extremely happy people. And I know my Rebbe many years ago, he went to a Deir Shul when Deir Shul first started. They had a They make every single year. They make an event in the hotel. What is Deir Shul? Deir Shul is it's a one man show, Rabbi David Hofstetter, and he funds this literally worldwide organization where we take tests. There's a very complicated series of exams on Daf Yomi, exams on Mishnayis, exams on Mishnah Berura, all different tracks. With Tosfos, without Tosfos, with the Ber Halacha, without the Ber Halacha, and they have other all these things, Chazara, Iyun. I mean, they have you can go like 20 exams you can take right here. It's very easy to set yourself up and go take the exams. So every year they make a convention to mechazik the people who take the exams. They have a few hundred people, maybe even more, who come to this hotel. So for some reason, I don't know why, my Rebbe in Chaim Berlin, he was invited to go. I don't know why. I have no idea why, what his connection is to this. And he went. So I was speaking to him, and he said to me, I went to this event, and I have to tell you, he says, I never in my life saw such happy people. Most of the people there were dirt poor, Kol Yungalite, who literally do not know where they're going to eat tomorrow. And these people, they take these exams. They're under enormous pressure to, these are the hard exams, it's not easy. The hard exams, and they're under enormous pressure to, you know, to take the exams, to review, another exam. They have a system of chazara to review. And at this event, I saw these people up close, spend the Shabbos with them. And I never saw such happy people. So the question is, how could that be? When you're learning about the axe and the cow and the excrement with the nail in the bathhouse of where you hang your tefillin and the gruesome details of Petsua Daka, how does that make you happy? How does that make you happy? It doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. That's why it's called a choik. B'chuko sai telech. On paper, it doesn't make sense. But somehow, there is some element of sanctity. There is some element of sanctity that is found in the study of Torah, which brings a person to a whole new dimension of living. And people who learn, you find, you know, the old different types of people who learn. Not everyone, you know, there are people, unfortunately, that just sit and drink coffee the whole day and walk around the block and smoke. Okay, we're not talking about those people. We're talking about the real deal. People who really learn. The real serious people. You want to see real serious people, you're going to find most of them in Eretz Yisrael. America, Baruch Hashem, a lot of Torah, but you go to Eretz Yisrael, it shakes you up. When you go into some of the Bate Midrash and you see people learning, it's a whole different level. There's a whole different degree of seriousness. I'm not telling Eretz Yisrael everyone is so serious. But generally, the atmosphere is a different level. And these people, they have satisfaction. And it doesn't make sense. On paper, you cannot explain this to a guy. You can, to a person who never experienced it, you really can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense. It's a choik. It's a choik. That's what Rashi says. Shetiyu amel l'mitara. Okay, next Rashi. Yes, mitzvah say tishmeru. Hevu amel l'mitara almanas. What is the goal? He's coming to connect the connection. Almanas lishmar ulekayim. The goal of studying Torah is to live it, not just to be an intellectual study. The goal is gadol limud shelimud mevi lidei maisa lasuke shmeitzer aliba dehilchasa. The goal of learning is don't just let Torah be an intellectual pursuit; it has to result in action. And that's what this pasuk says. Im bichu gosai telecho, he'll be amel mitorah. For the purpose of the es mitzvasai tishmeru, your learning will result in action. Then, you will know the pasuk to the same deal. You ulimaditem oisam, ushamaritem laasasam. You will learn them, and you will guard them to do what you learn. Okay, let's see the targum. Targum on this pasuk says, Im bi bik yomai tihachun, you'll go in my, this is the word choik, you always use this word choik, means some kiyum. It could be that it doesn't agree with Rashi. I don't know, he still says the bik yomai. A kiyum, v'yos pikoidai titru, you will guard my commandments, v'savdun yosun, you will do them. All right, let's go to the next passage. V'nasati, what's the word? I'll grant gishmechem your rain, be tam in the right time. The earth will give its produce. So there are three things presented in this pasuk. Number one is going to be rain. Number two, the earth will produce produce, yivul. And number three, the trees will give forth fruit. Three things: rain, produce from the earth, grain. Number three, fruit. Rashi, bi'itam b'shosh she'ein derech when adam lotzeis kigoin. The Leili Shabbos, so when is the best time for it to rain? Where it does not stare anyone's activities? Friday night. Because Friday night, you're home anyway. Anyway, you're not going anywhere. Unless you go to Shalom Zohar. If you go to Shalom Zohar, you have to wait until Shalom Zohar is over. So then there's no harm done. The Eitz HaSodeh, Hein Ilonei Sirok, the Asidin La'asoyz Peiroz of Hirashi, for whatever reason, is telling us a Medrash, which is way out. Rashi, ordinarily, he tells you things that are very practical. And here, for whatever the reasons over here, he says, refers to La'asalava, trees. trees that ordinarily do not produce fruit, Ilone Sirach, they do not produce fruit. In the future times of Mashiach, the trees that today do not produce fruit will produce fruit. Okay, that's interesting, Rashi. Ta'agav yatein mat rechoin bi'id, bi'idon choin al-grin, rain in the right time. V'sitein ara alalta, and the earth will give, alalta means the produce, the yavul. V'ilan chakla, the trees of the orchard, of the sode. The chakla is the field. Yitein will give ibei produce. Ibei means, I guess over here means fruit. Okay, next passage. V'yisig lechem, this is an important passage. It will reach to you. Now, yeah, this is a very good Rashi claims over here. The word vihisig means to reach, to attain, or let's say to reach, to connect. Daish es botzir. Daish means the time when you harvest. Botzir is grapes, and daish is threshing, okay? When you thresh the field. Okay, we'll see in Rashi one second. Vatsir, and the Vatsir season, Yasig, will reach, extend as Zora to the planting season. Vachaltem lachmechem losoiva, you'll eat your bread in satisfaction. Vishavtem, you will dwell lovetach, in security, the Arzachem. Rashi. Vizidlachem daish es Vatsir shei hadayish miruba. So daish means the threshing season. Basically, it's the harvest season, this grain. And you harvest the grain, and you bring the grain into the silo, and then you have the animals enter, and the animals are put into a pen, and they just step on it. They step on the grain, which separates the kernel from the chaff. And then the next part of the process is to winnow. You throw it up into the air, and the wind blows away the chaff, and all you're left with is the kernels. So the process is, first you have to first cut, and after you cut, you pile it up in the center of in the field, and you let it sit in the field the entire summer to dry out from the scorching hot sun. And then, towards like the time of Sukkot, you bring the grain that's been in the field into the silo, and you bring it into an enclosure where the animals step on it to separate the kernel from the chaff. You winnow it, and then you take out, you have the kernel, and the kernel is stored away in the silo, and then you eat it, you distribute it to people who want the wheat kernel to make bread. So it says over here that you're going to be so busy, you're going to have so much grain, this process is going to take such a long time, you'll be busy with this until the time of the harvest of the grapes. So the botzir, the time when you harvest the grapes, it seems, is later. It's a later time of the year. Okay, the exact dates, I don't know, but it seems like if you don't have too much grain, it goes very quickly. So you can finish the dayish in a day or two, you're all done. And then you have to wait a couple of weeks when you get up to the time to do the harvest of grapes. No, you can have so much grain that the harvest of the grain will take a long time, and it will extend into the time of the year until you harvest the grapes. Uva botzir, and you'll have so much activity collecting all the grapes, ta'asku at sha'as hazera, until the winter when you begin to seed the land again. So in other words, you're going to be continuously busy because you're going to have a super duper abundance of produce. V'achaltem lachamchem losayva, oichel kima, you'll eat in satisfaction. What is the ultimate satisfaction? The ultimate satisfaction is to eat a little bit and be satisfied. You'll be blessed in your stomach. Okay, what does Targum in this pasuk say? V'ora l'choin diyasha. So I guess the word v'ora, I'm assuming it means it will reach. It will reach, it will extend. L'choin diyasha, yos kitofa. Kitofa, I'm assuming, refers to the harvest of grapes. And this will extend until the time comes. La foke bar zara. Now here, over here, it's interesting. Over here, he adds words in. He adds a word. Yasig ezora. He writes over here until the time when you take out bar zara. I guess I mean seeds. Why did the Targum have to add the word lafoke? Lafoke means you're going to go out into the field, you're going to bring out. They didn't say that in the Pasuk. The Pasuk just says Yaseh Yazora. Obviously, the reason why the Targum said it is because it's another pshat. When it says Yasig, it will reach Ezora. Maybe this means something entirely different. Okay, we have to go look in the Mefarshim. Okay, I really should have brought up. I'm not going to go look now. But obviously, the fact that he says Lafoke Bar Zara is an indication that there's another translation for this pasuk. Probably, you know, the other Rishonim on the page and the Kuros Kedolos will tell you an entirely different pshat in this pasuk. V'yisig lechem dai, what these words mean. And the Targum appears to reject that interpretation and learns the pasuk like the way Rashi explained. It means to take seed and go out into the field and plant the seed. In order to make it crystal clear what it means, Ezora, he says, la'apoke, to take out bar zara, seeds. What can it possibly mean if you're going to take seeds out of the house and go out? It means you're going to plant. So it's basically saying like what Rashi says, is that you're going to have so much produce, you're going to be busy from the time you begin to harvest the grain. You're going to be busy until you thresh the grain. You're going to be so busy, it's going to extend until the season of the grapes. And when you get to the season of the grapes, you're going to be so busy until you get to planting season. You'll be busy 24/7. V'seichlun lach mechoin l'misba. You'll eat your bread in satisfaction. V'seisvun l'rochtzon b'arachon. And you will dwell l'rochtzon. Okay, so I'm assuming l'rochtzon means in security in your land. Now, question. Isn't this pasuk hey a contradiction to pasuk gimel? In pasuk gimel it says im bichukosai telechu shetiyu amelim b'toyra. You should be toiling in the learning of Torah. If you're gonna have so much produce, and you're gonna be busy from the moment you begin to thresh the grain, and that's gonna take you all the way until the season of harvesting the grapes, the vineyard, and then that's going to keep you so busy until it comes time to plant. When are you going to have time to learn? When is there going to be time to learn? We have a contradiction. We start up because I tell you, it says over here, you're going to be amel l'mitorah, right? Shetu amel l'mitorah. Amel l'mitorah means you're busy 24/7 learning. How then are you going to be able to go pasukei v'yisig lechem da'yish espotzir? What's going on over here? So you can say one of two things. Either you can say, "Is you're not going to do it. Your servants will do it. You'll be in the base medrash learning, and you'll have a whole company of non-Jews, or whoever will be busy running the business for you, but you'll be in the base medrash." That's one shot. Or you can say that when it says here, "Hitzilchem Daish as Botzir," the Daish and the Botzir and the Zera, these are really metaphors. They're metaphors for different types of Torah. There is a type of Torah that's called Daish. There's a Torah that's called Botzir. And there's a Torah that's called Zora. Okay, there are different forms of learning. You say every day in the Havah Rabbah. The same learning, Lahovin, Ulahaskil, Lishmoya, Lilmoid, Ulalamed, Lishmar, the La'asois L'kayim. I always like to say this, what does it mean, La'asois? La'asois means Godol Limud Shemevi Lidei Ma'isa. That's not necessarily what it means. Rapam said that when it says La'asois, it means to be Mechadesh. The whole Baruch of Ahava Rabbah is a Baruch about the learning of Torah. So what does it mean, La'asois? It means to be Mechadesh. It means to come up with novel ideas in there. Your learning is so good, it's so overflowing, you just naturally have new insights, novel insights. And then when it says ulekayim, publish, preserve your chidushi Torah in the written form. Ulekayim is to publish. So everything about so different, there's the same good in lahovin, ulahaskil, lashmoya, lilmoy, ulalameh, Lishmar v'la'asais, ulekayim, eight different levels of learning. So here, if
it's just in their point of view that you have to also work, I mean, literally work at something, you know, so together with
Gestapos. Yeah, but over here, so of course, but over here, the Pasuk is telling you not enough time to learn. The Pasuk is telling you over here is ordinarily, from the Pasuk is smashed, ordinarily, there is the season to harvest grain. How long does that take? It doesn't seem to take such a long time. And then you have a break. And then you come back a little later, and it's now time to harvest grapes. How long does that take? Not so long. And then what do you do next? You come back later. It's now the planting season. So you have plenty of time. You have a short period of time when you're involved in threshing the grain. A short period of time when you're involved in harvesting the tending to your vineyard. And then there's a short period of time where you're busy planting. This pasuk is telling you you're not going to have any time. You're going to be so busy with your parnasa that he sig lochem daish es botzir uvotzir yasig ezora. You're going to be busy. Isn't that a contradiction to what it says in the beginning of this parasha to be amel mitara? Being amel mitara means that you spend a minimal amount of time on parnasa, not a maximum amount of time on parnasa. We're not talking about the 21st century. Okay, we're talking about, you know, ancient times. In ancient times, you know, is an agricultural type of a society. There is a time of the year when you're very busy, and there's a time of the year when you're not so busy. If you're an accountant, tax season, you're very busy. April 15th is the deadline, you're very busy. And the day after April 15th, you go away, you're done. Vacation, it's all over. Now really, every type of business has its times of the year when it's intense, and there are times of the year when it's more relaxed. So over here, of course, there is hishtadlus, but with the hishtadlus, there's also a principle called, at least according to what the Pasuk says, amel mitara. And then it tells you, you're not going to have any time to learn, you're going to be so busy. So how do you reconcile this contradiction? So the answer has to be one of two things. Either, who says you're going to be the one that's going to be doing all the work? You'll have workers. You'll be amel mitara. You'll check in, you'll do your hishtadlus. If Mr. Rappaport says, you'll do your hishtadlus, but you'll be able to give over most of the business to your workers, and they'll take care of it for you, and you will reap the benefits. So it's not a stira, or this is an allegory. Just like in the bracha of Ahav Rava, there are eight different types of learning: lahavin, lahaskil, lishmoya, lilmo, lamer, lishma, v'las, l'kayim. This is a mashal. V'yisig lechem daish. No, the Torah is compared to bread. L'chu lachamu belachmi. This is the Chazal said, this refers to melchamto shel Torah. Go battle over my bread. And that means to learn Torah. Torah is called bread. Ushesu miyein niski. And drink from the wine of my libation. Yayin. And it also refers to Torah. Some tell you that when it says lechem is halacha, and yayin is agoda. What is zera? I don't know. What is planting seeds? I have no idea. But you could also interpret this is that if a person will be omel in Torah, he will achieve. He will have satisfaction in his learning. Chazal are very into this. They're very into testing yourself to see if you're successful in learning. The Gemara is, a person learns for 5 years and has no success, then he'll never have success. I don't know, never. The Gemara says some very, very, very scary things. If you spend time learning and you don't find satisfaction, maybe you should get a job. This might not be cut out for you. This activity of being Isaac, of spending your time entirely in learning. A person always has to take inventory. Am I really cut out for this? Not everyone is cut out to learn. We all know that. So the pasuk over here gives you a bracha. A person is diligently learning, and he learns with the right kavana, The kavana is to do the mitzvahs. He doesn't learn for kavod. He doesn't learn for money. Okay, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people out there who learn for all the wrong reasons. They're learning for they're not learning. They're not learning because they want to learn. They're learning because, you know, that they have nothing else to do. Society, they created a society where they have no opportunity. So no opportunity. So you sit and learn. That's not a good thing. You have to have a society where you have choices. America used to be very good for that. In America, it used to be, I don't know if it's still like that today, is that the society relative to Eretz Yisrael, society was much more open, and people didn't want to learn. They didn't. It wasn't expected. You have opportunities. In America, you have opportunities. I don't know, today's a little different. A little different today, but it used to be, at least in the yeshiva world, you want to learn. You made a decision to learn. And a person's in Koilel, you know, a person's sitting and learning, you have to really, you know, analyze, am I producing? Is this what's meant for me? Is this the right thing for me? If you're in a society where there's no other option, everything has been shut down, you live in a, you know, in a certain society, who says you're learning for the Lashem Shemayim? Here it says, im for what purpose? I'm a male in the Torah to do the mitzvahs for the right reason.
My wife and I had a in-depth discussion about you hear about all these bochum, they go over, they're learning in Lakewood, they're learning in Eretz Yisrael, and obviously it's who's supporting them.
How long? Let me ask you. I have inside information. How long do you think today a boy who gets married, who lives in Lakewood, how long do you think today a boy in Lakewood remains learning the Beis Medrash after he gets married?
I have no idea.
Less than a year.
And where are
skills? Less than a year. You hear
so
that?
What happens after that?
They go to school. They go to school. They learn a trade. They go into a family business. The average boy in Lakewood who gets married, it used to be, a couple of years ago, they were there for a much longer time. People who went to Lakewood, the attitude was here in Lakewood, they sat in Lakewood for a number of years. Many years. Today,
who supported them?
I don't know. I don't know who supports them. I have no idea. Everyone will tell you another story. But they're there less than the average person in Lakewood is there less than a year. Could you imagine that? The someone who runs Lakewood told this to me. Then now he told me a couple of years ago, gave me all the statistics. Everyone they have on the records. The average person in Lakewood there is less than a year. They go, they, and what do they do afterwards? Everyone is different. Everyone is, some of them go to school, some of them, I don't know. I don't know what everyone does. I have no idea. But that's not a long time. Considering that's not a long time, less than a year to be the average person in Lakewood.
Who support them if they learn longer?
What? Who support? What?
Issue, you know?
Well, if they want to learn, I don't know. I really don't know. All right, let's leave that. Over here, V'hisilichem da'ayishas v'tzir, I want to suggest that it's referring over here to a satisfaction. So we did the targum over here, we did the targum. Let me just do one more pasuk. We have 2 minutes left. And then the next thing is, V'nasati, I will grant shalom ba'aretz, peace in the land. U'shechavtem, you will lie down. V'in ma'achari, you will not be afraid. V'shpati, it will cease to exist. A chayor ra'am min ha'aretz. Vilde chayes, a chayera. What's a chayera? An animal or, you know what? V'cherev lo yisavar bi'aretzachem. A sword will not pass through your land. Notice how many different expressions we have. There's going to be betach. There's going to be shalom. There's going to be v'ein macharid, and Hashem will cease. They will cease a chayera and a cherev lo yisavar. These are all the things that Hashem will do as far as peace and security. Besides what it said in the previous pasuk of Daish Espotzir Botsuyasig Azora and Vachaltem Lachem Lasoivam, besides all of the material blessings, let's talk about an environment of peace, safety, security. There is Betach, Sholem, there is Ve'ein Macharid, and there is a cessation of Achayo Ra'ah. And a cheref, incredible things. All starting with, if you're amelim b'toira al minas, you learn amelim for the right reasons, for the right reasons. Okay, Rashi in this pasuk says, I will grant shalom, shema tarmu harei machol, harei mishte, is food, is drink, im ein shalom, ein klum. There's no peace, there's nothing. Tamalomar, acha kol zois v'nasati, shalom ba'aretz. Peace. Mikan shaha shalom shokul keneged hakol. V'cheinu oimer oise shalom, Hashem makes peace, uvoirei es hakol. It is shokul keneged everything. V'cherev lo yisavar bi'atzchem, ein tzarech loimar. Shlo yavohu la'milchama. Not only does it mean that no one's going to come to war against you, it means that even if you have a nation that wants air passage, just wants to go through your land, they want to travel to get to their destination. And this happened in whose generation? This happened in the generation of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu paro necho. Paro the cripple. He was a cripple, a paraplegic. He wanted to fight against Nineveh, against Karkamish. Who was Karkamish? This was Sancheriv. He was dead by this time. He wanted to fight against Ashur, the kingdom of Ashur. And in order to get from Egypt to the Melech Ashur, you have to pass through Eretz Yisrael. So he asked Yoshua, do me a favor, let us pass. We're not going to go to war against you. We have nothing to do with you. We just need the rite of passage. Like today, you hear in the news over and over again, Israel, in case they want to strike Iran, how are they going to get there? Well, they have to fly over someone's territory. They have to fly over Saudi Arabia. They have to fly over Turkey. They have to fly over, I don't know, maybe even Jordan. I don't know whose territory they're flying over. They have to fly over Iraq. Okay, Iraq. In order to get to Iran, they're different, you know, where are they going to go? From the south, from the north, straight? You have to fly over. So therefore, all these countries say to Israel, don't you dare. Don't you dare fly over our territory. It's the same thing. Israel, a country wants to go to war against another country. Israel is put in a very tough dilemma. They want to fly over Eretz Yisrael. Or look what happened now with Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine was begging Israel to give them the Iron Dome. And Israel, so it's not their war, it's not Israel's war. It's just money. We'll pay you money, give us these weapons. And Israel doesn't want to get involved. They don't want to get on Russia's bad side.
They're scared of Russia.
Because they need Russia. Because Russia is helping them with Syria. Russia, not anymore. Now things changed. In the last week, they fired on Israel. Russia has a change of heart, and Russia actually aggressed. They launched attacks on Israel planes. That's right. Things changed very quickly. But there's a principle called the Cherev Lo Sabar Tzchem. Rashi Ein Tzarch Lo Mashlo Yavo La Milchama Ilafil La Avor Derech Aretz Chem. Maybe didn't even that. Targum will stop. Targum this for success. Attain Shalama Be Ara Ara V'Sushun. You will lie down. The less dimonid, and you'll not be afraid. The avatel chaisa bishta, the bad animals, min ara from the land, ude kotlin becharba. Now this is very interesting. Over here he adds in the cheref. Look what he does over here. This word is not in the pasuk. This word, ude kotlin, those who kill with a sword. The Targum was saying we're referring over here to people, to human beings. People who kill, killers, who kill with a sword, lo yidun, will not pass be'ar achon in your land. Okay, so when it says cherev, I mean, that's obviously what it means, but the Targum is spelling it out in more detail. Those people who kill with the sword will not pass your land. Okay, we'll stop over here, everybody. So I thank you for coming and listening to my... Whatever comes out of my mouth doesn't make too much sense, but thank you for coming. Have a good night.
Good night, Rabbi.
Rabbi Levi, so are you saying that between being in the freezer and you have to and then getting married, potentially like someone's liquor for less than 3 years?
Absolutely. I was shocked to learn this information.
Really?
My brother's father-in-law who passed away not that long ago. So he was very, very involved with Laker from the very beginning. And he told me the last time, you know, he was healthy, we had a conversation, he told me like all the statistics. And he says people don't, the boys in Lakewood, the average boy is there for a very short time. After they get married, they go to work. They go to work very quickly. Of course, there are mitsuyonim. There are mitsuyonim who obviously stay on for many years. But that's not, it's not like everyone, oh, you go to Lakewood, you can sit alone forever. It's totally false. Even before, the average boy was there for only a few years. They were there for 3-4 years, maybe, the most. And now it's very quick. The turnover is very, very swift. People, not everyone is cut out for learning. And, you know, once they get married, the reality sinks in. Who's going to support me? All right, Rabbi Sal.
Okay, I don't think it's
such a good thing.
Good night.
What?
Good night.
Good night, good night, good night.
See you tomorrow.
Okay, take care. Have a good night, everyone. Good night. Norman, how are you feeling?
Nativeness, fear, demonization have long torn us apart.
Mayor, what are you listening to?
Biden.
Biden. Biden, he's still around, Biden?
Yeah, whatever he says, he's such a... he says good stuff, he said. We'll attack China if they attack Taiwan.
So I read in the news that his staff was shocked when he said that.
Right.
And they told him, you're not supposed to say that. Don't you know? You're not supposed to say that. We have to now go and cover for you now.
All right. They can try covering, but the president said something. All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.